You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Butts, how you doing, my man?
I am really good, Jason. How are you doing?
I am. I'm excellent. This is a great time to be a sports fan. There's so much going on in every sport, but we'll focus on hockey a little bit right now. When you look at the Hughes and Pettersson contracts, it just came down out of Vancouver, and you're now in the city that you live in. You look at the Calgary Flames, and they've got they got Johnny Gaudreau, and they've got Matthew Tkachuk, who are guys who need contracts. Now Johnny's a UFA, Tkachuk's an RFA. What do you think of the contracts that were handed out today, specifically Pettersson? What does that mean, do you think, to the Flames? Is Gaudreau significantly higher? Where do you think Tkachuk comes in based on that contract?
Well, okay, so let's just deal with Matthew, who signed a three-year deal, a couple of years ago, right? So he signed that three-year deal. He's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. So, Matthew's in control here. Because Matthew can just take his qualifying offer and just say, hey, I'm going to play and I'm going to unrestricted. And, Johnny Gaudreau is a good player and he's already at that point of unrestricted free agency. So he's there. But, Matthew Tkachuk to me is unique. And where do you find unique players? You don't. And I can tell you right now, Jason, I can guarantee you this. Teams around the league are looking at the potential of Matthew Tkachuk being an unrestricted free agent. And you also have to allow for the possibility that, if the Flames are starting to feel that they can't get him signed long-term, does he now become a player that could become available in a trade? Because teams are licking their chops to get players like Matthew Tkachuk, because there are not very many of them. And so there's a real significant market demand for him. So I think for the Calgary Flames, quite frankly, I always felt that Matthew was going to be the captain after Mark Giordano. I think if they get him signed and get him under contract for a number of years, he will be the captain. But he's in control of this, as is Johnny Gaudreau. Again, the skill that Johnny brings, I don't think that he would be in the same type of demand as Matthew Tkachuk. But I think that when you look at his record of accomplishment and productivity, it's significant, it's real, and he's only moving in, and then at the end of this season, he'll be 29 years of age. So, do I think he'll get an 8-year deal? I think it would be a mistake, but I think that players like Johnny Gaudreau with that offensive ability are attractive. So for the Calgary Flames, I guess what we all know, stating the obvious, is, to me, the priority's got to be Matthew Tkachuk. And then you look at a significant priority in Johnny Gaudreau.
Are you surprised that Calgary really didn't do anything this offseason?
See, I think they did significant things this offseason.
Well, Coleman, I guess.
Coleman, Pitlick, Zadorov, they did Vilardar, the backup goaltender. So starting goaltending. So Markstrom needs to have some of the load taken off of him. Zadorov gives them a different look on the blue line. And, the reach, the stretch, the type of game he plays, they don't have that type of player. Then you look at Coleman, then you look at Pitlick, a little bit more depth, a little bit more speed, not a little bit more speed, more speed down the lineup. And you need, when you get players, it's not so much, when you look at your team and go, oh boy, geez, you don't have enough depth. It's what not having enough depth means. And what not having enough depth means is you get players scaled up the lineup. You get players that are asked to do more than they're capable of doing, and that creates problems for your team. And now for Daryl Sutter, he's got an opportunity to Coleman can play left wing or right wing. Tkachuk has shown that he can play right wing if needed. Gaudreau. You can look at different areas of your team and say, okay, what would benefit Gaudreau? What would benefit Lindholm? Do we play Lindholm on the right wing or do we play him in the middle? When you don't have options and you don't have real viable options, it becomes a real challenge for a coach. So I think they're a deeper team. I think they're, I talked about hard speed deeper into your lineup. I think the Flames did that, and they added a little bit of a different look in Zadorov on the blue line, and they got a backup goaltender now. I think Vladar is a pretty good goaltender, and I think he'll be a real good complement to Markstrom. So I think they did some good things.
What about on their back end? They lose Giordano. Who's going to be the top? Like, who do you think is going to play the most minutes? Is it going to be Hanifin, you know, Anderson, Tanev? Who's going to be their go-to minute eater in Calgary this year?
Well, the first thing, you got to be able to do is say, okay, what situations do we want them to play in? I'm looking at it as Hanifin, but I don't see Hanifin as a top defenseman. I see him as a really good top three defenseman. So, without Giordano played in front of Hanifin, that puts more pressure on Hanifin. And certainly we talked about getting scaled up a little bit. Where does Valimaki fit in? Valimaki, he had that serious knee injury. Last year was a lot about rehab and getting back into game form and everything. And his game fell off towards the end. But, I think he's a good, promising young player. But, on that area right there, without Giordano, and make no mistake about it, he's still a real good player. It puts pressure on Hanifin. The right side, I don't fuss about the right side. I think Anderson and Tanev are real good players that can fit in there and play different things. The key is, you've nailed it, Jason, it's not taking the minutes of Giordano. It's taking those critical minutes, those important challenges that he handled exceptionally well, and figuring out who else can do it. That's what a number one defenseman does. You can have anybody play the minutes, but are they capable of playing the same minutes versus the same challenges? That'll be the challenge for Hanifin and any other. They don't have a guy back there. Simple as that.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Pettersson and Hughes signed a six-year deal for Hughes at $7.85 million, three-year deal at $7.35 million for Elias Pettersson. Are you expecting a bounce-back season for Quinn Hughes, and how much is that going to be tied into who his defense partner is?
Well, I'm going to answer the second question first. It's significantly tied into who his defense partner is. I look at the Vancouver Canucks, and you look at their forward group, but it's a real good forward group. They got more depth in there. They got more speed, real good trade for Dickinson. Puck Colson's coming over to play. They trade for Garland. I mean, they got a really good offense. That blue line is not very good. They've cornered the market on bottom pair defensemen. I'll be straightforward here. Travis Hamonic has played. He's a bottom pair defenseman. I keep reading about him being a top pair defenseman. I don't think he is. I don't think he's even close. I don't think he ever was a top pair defenseman.
No.
At best, he was a second pair defenseman. When Chris Tanev left, that was a real hole for the Vancouver Canucks. So now you have Quinn Hughes, you add Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tyler Myers is in the mix, you start to look about, okay, who else can fill those areas on your team? It's a thin group. It's a thin group. I think Jack Rathbone is going to be a really good player. He's a young player. Jack Rathbone's probably no different than Evan Bouchard. Hopes are high. You hope that they can realize that a little bit sooner rather than later, but that's where they're at. But when you get to a thin group of blue liners, that puts a lot of pressure. I think one of the big areas that's going to help Quinn Hughes is Oliver Ekman-Larsson being able to take more of the offensive load, take some more offensive pressure off of Quinn on that back end. But right now, he doesn't have. I don't see a partner that can complement Quinn Hughes like Chris Tanev did. Big hole.
Yeah, well, especially if Hamonic's not going to be there. So the right defenseman then are Tyler.
I don't want Hamonic. Hamonic's just a body that plays with Quinn Hughes. He's not capable, in my view. Yeah. I think that's a bad duo. I think that he's a bad complement for Quinn. I'm not worried about Quinn Hughes. I think Quinn Hughes is a terrific player. But, how many, and Jason, this. You've watched the league. You know the league. There are very few player defensemen that can carry the game on their own. The vast majority need complementary players. And Quinn Hughes is no different. As good as he is, he still needs that. He doesn't have that. And it's not Hamonic. It's not Myers. It's not Luke Shen. It's not those guys. It's not Colton Pullman. They're lacking a guy that complements Quinn Hughes.
Craig Button-Jones. Yeah, so I'm curious. Now, you mentioned Evan Bouchard. I spoke about Evan Bouchard earlier, and I want to go back 2 years ago, Craig, because basically the same age as Evan Bouchard is now was Ethan Bear 2 years ago. And due to injury, Ethan Bear got thrust into the, have to play a lot of minutes, and it worked. Now, the Oilers didn't make the playoffs. They did make the playoffs, but, Ethan Bear played a lot of minutes. Do you think Evan Bouchard this year can be as good as Ethan Bear was two seasons ago?
What I would say is, Jason, is that I think that, the despite all the ability of Evan Bouchard, there needed to be like there was a development path. And, everybody wants players to develop sooner. And there's nothing wrong with having that, but you got to recognize where they're at. I think Evan is a lot more capable and ready to come in and contribute. He's going to contribute offensively. His game is with the puck. His game is making those plays that get you out of the zone, to get the puck into those talented offensive players inside the offensive blue line. I talked about this with you over many, many years. People think just because you're a good skater, that means you're going to be a good offensive defenseman. No, you got to be able to make plays inside the offensive blue line. You got to be able to, open up lanes and thread passes under sticks and through skates and make sure that you can get the puck through the net. I just described Evan Bouchard. So I think Evan has the opportunity to contribute in a manner that is really important for the Edmonton Oilers, but it's going to be more on the offensive side. Ethan was never, ever had the ability offensively that Evan has. But Ethan contributed in other areas. And that's an area now where Dave Tippett, Jim Playfair are going to have to say, okay, this is where Evan can handle this. This is maybe where we got to give him a little bit of protection. That's okay. But I think that where Evan's at in terms of his development, where he's at age-wise, I do believe he's ready to come in now and be a contributor to the Evan. And it helps. He's also got Tyson Barrie there. It takes a little bit of pressure off of him. So I think the situation is nice for Evan Bouchard to be a contributor.
Craig, last season the Edmonton Oilers finished 7th in goals for in the National Hockey League. They've added Hyman. They've added Fogle. It'd be very hard for Nugent Hopkins to be as bad 5-on-5 as he was last year, same as Yamamoto. Do you think Edmonton's a top-5 team goal scoring?
Yes, I do. And again, you put players. I think they got more offensive depth deeper in the lineup.
Oh yeah.
One of the things with Ryan Nugent Hopkins is, he's versatile. He's adaptable. So you can play him on the left wing. You can move him in the middle. Well, now you add Fogle, you add Hyman, right? Puljujärvi came in and was a real nice fit. You're deeper through your lineup. So I think that not only do you get like some contributions offensively deeper in your lineup, it also gives, it also takes a little bit of the burden off those top players that are going to produce. And when you add I'll add the second part of this, I think Zach Hyman's going to be a real significant addition to this team. Not only for what he does with his own play for the team, for others, but because he's going to fill areas of the lineup, it's going to allow other players to fill other areas of the lineup. And I specifically think about Ryan Nugent Hopkins. So now all of a sudden, if you've got a center ice that, is Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, you can swing Nugent Hopkins at different points onto the wing. You can move Draisaitl up. That's flexibility that creates advantages. They're gifted offensively because of 29 and 97, but I think they got deeper offensive ability. So, yes, top five team offensively in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you, Craig. Looking for one last one for you. So the Oilers, they got a battle on their fourth line right now. Their top nine forwards, at least to start the year, seem kind of set in stone. So you've got Shore and McLeod down the middle. You've got Perlini. You've got Turris. You've got Benson. And then you've got Colton Sevier with Archibald, who's got some health issues. I don't know what it is. But I think Colton Sevier is going to get a contract. Do you think Tyler Benson ultimately is going to make this team?
Oh, geez, that's a great question. I think Tyler's like he's in that what I call the gray zone, right? Like, I think that everybody knows what he can contribute, right? But what else do you need in your lineup? What else do you want? I think that you know, he's a player that, you know, didn't get picked up in the expansion draft, right? So now you start to look and go, okay, where does he fit? I think there's an opportunity for him. You know, when you think about the Josh Archibald situation, right, and it's a situation, okay, what's going to happen here? You know, like, is there going to be another opening because Josh Archibald is going to be a player that can't fit? You know, was you look at the fourth line, you know, Perlini signed goal scoring a little bit. I mean, he is hopefully a less expensive James Neal, give you some goals maybe on the power play. You know, you start to look at your contracts and you start to look at who you may not want to lose. I know Sevier can, you know, we know what he is. I'm not so sure he's going to get a contract because I'm not so sure unless they want to trade Benson. I'm not sure they want to lose him on waivers.
Yeah, well, yeah, fair point. Fair point. That maybe they just put Turris down on waivers and they keep Benson on the roster.
Well, they can do that too, right?
Yeah.
See, Kyle, to me, is another player Kyle's got to earn a spot. He's got to earn a spot. I think Devin has the confidence of the coaching staff. Devin Shore, that is. I think he's got the confidence of the coaching staff, and they know what he can bring. They know they can put him in a lot of different areas. I think that flexibility is really valuable. That's where you start to look at other players. Where's the flexibility? Where's the confidence coming from the coaching staff? You know, where they can go from there and, you know, try to build a deeper, harder group to play against down in your lineup.
Craig, always good to catch up with you, man. We will talk to you regularly every Friday throughout the season. Have a great day.
Will you be at the game tomorrow?
I will not, actually. What's tomorrow?
You don't have to explain. No one's getting up.
Actually, you know what, Craig? No, I'm doing something. I'm not pickleballing, but I'm in a skeet shooting competition tomorrow. So.
Skeet shooting? Wow. Pretty impressive. Are you like a massive
shooter? No, gosh, not at all. I've done it a few times. It's kind of like golf, but it's like skeet shooting. You go there, they got a course, or it's like different holes. It's basically like golf, but you go skeet shooting. So, yeah, we have a little game tomorrow. So.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I'm going to miss you at the game because I'm coming up there to watch Winnipeg at Edmonton tomorrow. But I'll see you sooner rather than later, and I always love joining you on Fridays.